one of the great words in the Bible? The word is grace. Grace. It's one of the major themes of the Bible, and we'll see that more a little bit later. But grace is also one of the great themes of Christian music. I looked it up today on Song Select, which is a website for all kinds of Christian music and lyrics and everything else. And on Song Select, it says that there are 4,715 Christian songs that mention or center on grace. I never would have guessed it was that many. I knew it was a lot, but over 4,700. And I'm sure there are new ones being written right now that talk about grace. Give me a song title about grace. Other than Amazing Grace. You jumped in too soon. Grace like rain? Grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Others? I'm only a sinner saved by grace. By the grace of God. Let's see, that's about 5 out of 4,700. My plan, I shared this with Jimmy yesterday, is that when I have opportunities to speak over the next period of time, that I want to talk about this great word, grace, if that's okay with you. Grace. I think that the greatest, probably the greatest grace song ever written is the one that somebody blurted out before I was done talking. They shall remain nameless. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. And what I'd like to do is take that great song and break it down in pieces or phrases. And so if you're here whenever I have a chance to preach, I want to remind you of not just grace, but the incredible song, Amazing Grace. And I'll weave into it some of the background of the author and some of the comparisons that can be seen in the song. It's interesting that John Newton, who wrote the song Amazing Grace, had experienced the grace of God in a deep, personal way. And tonight, I want to jump right into it and think with you for just a few minutes about this phrase. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And I know there's more to that line, but we'll do that another time. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in your word you have given us some incredible words that speak to the needs of our hearts and help us to understand our relationship to you and what you have done for us in providing salvation. And so help us tonight as we begin to think through the great hymn, Amazing Grace, that we will understand it maybe in a more deep way, in a more personal way, by sharing this time together tonight. Bless our time together for your honor and glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. What is grace? Let me say quickly, grace is not a blue-eyed blonde. That's just a name for somebody, right? Grace is far deeper and more meaningful than someone's name. Grace is a word that is used throughout the Bible. fact, the word grace is found about 171 times in the Bible, depending on what translation and what version you are reading in. So that's a lot of occurrences, isn't it? Grace. It's found at least 38 times in the Old Testament. Some people are surprised by that. When we think of the Old Testament, what usually comes to mind? Law. But over 30 times, we find the word grace in the Old Testament. And that would leave about another 150 times in the New Testament. Interestingly enough, the word grace is never found in the Gospels as spoken by Jesus. And yet, grace is the result of putting our faith in Jesus, isn't it? Grace, grace. Another great song is Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord. Grace that exceeds, goes way over the top of our sin and our guilt. Marvelous grace. It's really an error to think that the Old Testament is only about law. That would make God appear to be sort of a sledgehammer, wouldn't it? And it's just as much an error to think that the New Testament is all about grace. Because if that's all we think of when we think about the New Testament, we get this view of God as some pushover grandpa in his holy rocking chair somewhere up in heaven. And that is not the picture of God, is it? Some people think that Old Testament saints were somehow saved by keeping the law. Nothing could be further from the truth. Those same people see New Testament believers as saved by grace through faith in Christ. Now, the biblical view, what we see when we take the whole Bible in context and in its full meaning, is that Old Testament and New Testament people are saved by grace through faith in Christ. Well, how's that work in the Old Testament? They're saved by looking ahead at Jesus and trusting in God's salvation that is coming through Christ. New Testament saints are saved looking back at what Jesus did on the cross to save us from our sins. It's all about grace. The first mention of grace in the whole Bible, and therefore in the Old Testament, because remember, it's found there as well, is Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, where we read this: But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the old Southern Gospel song says, And he landed high and dry. Grace found very early in the Old Testament. We also see it in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, where the Bible says this about Abraham. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Believed in the Lord. That's grace, isn't it? So grace is a theme we see through the whole Bible. Here's another little tidbit about grace that I discovered. The word grace is only used two times in the whole book of Psalms. But you see it all over the place. But the word is only used twice in the whole book of Psalms. Even the staunchly Jewish, law-abiding prophet Jonah understood the grace of God. Both of the other Phils have referenced Jonah in the last few weeks, and that's a good spot to land. But Jonah understood God's grace. If you have your Bible, look at Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Remember, Jonah got mad when God didn't destroy Nineveh when the people turned to him in faith. And in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, he says, "So he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, or because of that, I fled previously to Tarsus, for I know that you are a, what? Gracious God. And merciful, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm.'" That's why I ran away, God, because I knew if I went and preached to those people and they came to you in faith and believed, you wouldn't destroy them. So that's why I ran away. So Jonah even understood the grace of God. There are a lot of other things we could talk about grace in the Old Testament. But grace is a constant theme in the Bible. It all comes together in the New Testament in John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, where it says this, "And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." What does that mean? Grace on top of grace. Grace piled up. "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through" who? "Jesus Christ." He is the very personification of grace, folks. When you see Jesus, you see grace. Now, grace is a very interesting word in and of itself. It comes from the Greek word charis, which means favor or blessing or kindness. Each one of us can personally extend grace to other people, can't we? And we should do that. But when the word grace is used in connection with God, it takes on a much more powerful meaning than our human showing grace. Listen carefully. Grace is God choosing to bless us rather than curse us as our sin deserved. Woe. What do we deserve as sinners? Hell. Bottom line. Bluntly. But true. All we deserve as sinners is hell. But God chooses us to bless us rather than curse us when we come to Him in faith. Grace is God choosing to give us kindness and favor which we do not deserve. So here's a workable definition of grace. I'm a pretty simple person. I went to seminary. I learned all the big $50 words. But here's what grace means. Grace is God giving me what I do not deserve. I can remember that. Maybe you can too. Grace is God giving me what I do not deserve. One of the great grace verses, passages in the Bible about grace is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You can find that. That's where we're going to camp for a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Remember the word charis, gift? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast. What does that word boast mean? It means that if I had anything to do with my salvation, I could walk around patting myself on the back because I did it. If you think that has anything to do with your salvation, you're wrong. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. That's a key verse to understanding this whole thing about grace and the whole thing about the great song, Amazing Grace. And that's what makes grace so amazing. God giving me what I do not deserve. The only way that any of us can enter into a relationship with God is because of His grace toward us. If you have any thoughts in the front or back of your mind that somehow you have something to do with getting to heaven on your own, you don't understand grace. You just don't. Grace began way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 3, where God killed an animal and used the skin of the animal to make coverings for Adam and Eve. Because they had disobeyed God. Which means they were sinners, right? And they knew that. I think, now maybe that's just me. You can disagree if you want to. But I think there are great examples of humor in the Bible. Maybe that's because I have a pretty decent sense of humor. But after Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says, God came down in the cool of the evening and said what? Adam, where are you? Is that funny? Yeah? Didn't God know where he was? Sure, but he wanted Adam to admit it. Because every other evening when God had come down and spent time with Adam and Eve, they walked together in the Garden of Eden. And that night God comes to take the evening stroll with Adam and Eve, and they weren't there. Where are you? They knew they were sinners. And they'd made a feeble attempt to create some kind of coverings for themselves out of leaves, but how long would those clothes last? Not very long. And so God killed an animal and made coverings for them. That's grace. Grace. He could have killed the first humans then and there, because they had disobeyed a direct order. But rather than destroy them, God chose to make a way for them to be right with him. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather be on God's good side than on God's bad side. Anybody agree with me? Yeah? And the way I can be on God's good side is through grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works. Nothing I can do to earn it. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. By the way, when Ephesians 2 says it's not of works, it means it's not by any means the way the Old Testament goes. Because that's all about law, right? Predominantly about law. What did God do when he killed the animal to provide coverings for Adam and Eve? God put in place blood sacrifices as a means to atone for the sins of human beings. Blood sacrifices. It wasn't the blood of the animal, however, it was the grace of God in operation through that whole thing. It's all grace. All about grace. God put in place there in the Garden of Eden something that is still in place today. God chose to forgive those who trusted in him. And Adam and Eve had to choose to trust God. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 4. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Well, how is it possible? Genesis 15:6, which I read for you earlier. Abraham, what? Believed in the Lord. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham needed to be right with God. Right? You and I need to be right with God. And it is through grace. By faith, that we become right with God. It's the only way. How can we say that? Because it's right here. And this is God's Word, inspired by God, which means God moved the human beings who wrote it, so that what they wrote was exactly what God wanted them to say. Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Is it any wonder that when John Newton sat down to write a poem, a song that expressed his faith in God, that he began with the line, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." How sweet the sound. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight, and that in your word you have given us such clear descriptions of your grace. How you have given us what we do not deserve, because we're sinners and all we deserve is hell. Help us to let these words of grace sink deeply into our hearts. Would you stand, please? With our eyes closed and our minds focused on God's Word, have you experienced the grace of God in your life? There is no more important question for you to ever consider than that.